We are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me, as always, Mike Gilletto.
What up, what up?
Now, if you guys noticed, my mic quality is a little down, and that means we have three mics today.
We do.
And we'll introduce our guest in a second. First, I'm going to let you guys know that you can find us on Facebook, Podbean, Instagram, iTunes, Google Play, and last word, on sports.com. Pretty much just search You Would Think, and, you know, we're everywhere.
We are everywhere.
All right. Now, we teased this last week. We have a bit of a guest host today.
Yep.
And I said that he was similar to a previous guest host we had. And that similarity, you know, if you guys know, the only guest host we've had on so far has been my father.
Except for the interview with Nick.
Well, sure.
Okay.
The only one here live in the studio with us. So that might clue you in that our special guest today is Mike's father, also named Mike Gilletto.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
You're a fan of the show, huh?
Very much so. Of course, I have a vested interest.
I was going to say, how much of that is because it's your kid?
Exactly.
I'm sure. But I enjoy it. I look forward to my Tuesdays, and I'm always checking when's the show going to be up. Is it up yet? I want to listen.
And you like it the most because I do most of the talking?
At times.
If Mike talked too much, you would have to...
I have to put him in his place.
You'd have to pause it and listen in a couple separate chunks.
This is going to be 1 hour of bashing me.
Listen, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
By the way, how are our prediction scores going? You don't look too good right now.
Let's move forward. let's move on.
If you guys follow us on Twitter at YWT Podcast, our buddy Ben is following with our predictions, and Mike's currently in third place.
Yeah.
So.
Well, listen, Vegas should have swept. They play San Jose.
Yeah, but like they didn't.
They should have.
So you don't get the
points. They should have. I mean, the NHL is rigged. All right.
Oh, is that what's rigged?
Yep. They should have got swept. That should have been a goal in overtime.
Let's get into today's show. We don't have anything huge. No banner news to talk about. I know Mike Sr. has some things he wants to talk about. We're going to get right into some Phillies talk. Mike, hit me with it.
I had an up and down week, but they really need a closer.
Yeah.
They need to find, you know, a legitimate closer.
Yeah.
Because Hector Neris is not getting it done.
Okay. That's fair.
Anything to add down there?
Even when he's been successful, he's been a train wreck. Even when he gets it done, it's been really bad. His ERA is well over 4. He's 1-2.
For a guy who's pitching 2 or 3 innings a week, that's unacceptable.
It's just not good. Again, even when he's been successful, it's been... You know, two guys on the tying run on third, and you know he gets that last out, and you kind of, shoo.
He's a sigh of relief type.
Correct.
Guy.
He's
not a calm, cool, and collected Brad Lidge in 2008.
Correct. And they're not good enough to lose games that they're supposed to win if they plan on finishing over 500 and make a run towards the playoff spot. They got to win the games they're supposed to win.
They absolutely do. I need to win that bet. So
we need
Hector
Neris
to step it up.
Yeah.
Listen, it's May. We got plenty of time.
It's way too early.
You got the whole month of May, June, July, August. A lot of games left. Well over 100 games left. Plenty of time for them to right the ship, and maybe that comes in the form of making a deal and finding a closer somewhere.
Maybe. It was just a bad loss, you know, in general to Washington.
Yeah, again, you also don't want to overreact due to one or two poor outings.
No, but Tommy Hunter, who actually has looked decent in that game, him and Neris combined 7 base runners, only 2 outs. That's all he did.
Yeah.
What made it such a bad loss isn't just that your closer messed it up. It's after you lose game one, your pitching matchups were really bad for games 2 and 3 of the series, and you're facing a sweep and basically a 500 record. You win the second game, and then even with the matchup on Sunday, you're still against it. Even with Arrieta, you manage to get a 4-1 lead against their bullpen. You can actually win the series.
Right.
And then he blows the game and...
Yeah, and series wins over division teams are huge.
They're big. They're
no
big.
Matter
they're,
when it
they're,
happens.
They're 2-point wins. They're, right. they're, two game, they're two game swings every right. time.
Especially because Washington did have a little bit of a slower start.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you got to kick them while they're down. And you got to get as many wins out of them as you can, because in August or September, when you're going for maybe a pennant, and you know, maybe you win the NL East, but it's going to take winning games like they want, you know, like they lost on Sunday.
Correct. Correct. You just can't lose those games.
No. I mean, Neris walked. He threw a lot of balls. I think he walked the tying run, I believe.
He walked the tying run in. He hit a batter earlier in the inning to load the bases.
He's got to have more control.
Yeah. Yep.
At a certain point, you just have to take a breath and throw strikes. I missed the game on Sunday. Did Kapler come out and talk to him at all during the inning?
Yes, he did.
Okay, he did.
And he looked frustrated, Kapler.
Yes.
He looked pissed off.
Rightfully so. You know, because at a certain point, it's up to the manager to go out there and calm your guy down.
Yeah, and he tried and he did what he could do. He must have made that decision. Okay, this isn't the game where I'm going to take him out. I'm going to live the high wire act one more time, and he just didn't quite get it done.
Yeah, because it's kind of a similar attitude as pulling a goalie in hockey. You don't want to pull a goalie at the wrong time and mess with his psyche.
True.
So if Gabe Kapler decided that a Sunday game in May isn't the time to play the psychological warfare battle with Hector Neris, then, you know, he made that decision. Whether it's right or wrong, I don't know, but... You know, you don't pull a goalie with 3 minutes left in the period, right? You wait until the intermission and start the, you know.
It's a good analogy.
Right. And I'm just making hockey analogies. That's where I'm more comfortable here.
Understood.
But anything else in Philly's world, Mike?
Nah, it's kind of been a slow week.
Yeah, again, we've talked about this before. Baseball's tough to analyze on a weekly basis. Because things tend to happen over longer term.
Pivetta finally came back down to earth a little bit. Got knocked around, what, 7 runs in one inning?
That's going to happen. That's going to happen to your best pitchers sometimes. Yeah. It's why winning the games you're supposed to win are so important.
Yep, and nobody thinks this Phillies team is a dominant 110, 120 win team.
Oh, not by any stretch of the imagination. But they could legitimately, if you win the games, you should. Now, I keep saying the same thing, but you'll be
in that 80. Do you think they're a
90? No, I think they're in a potentially, if the team has to, for another touch base, they have to hit. Right. They got 4 or 5 guys hitting under 220.
Yeah, that's not good.
That has to change.
So,
but they can be 80 to 85 and in the hunt for a wild card spot. Yeah, I don't see why not. Even if they don't get there.
We can hear about some magic numbers and, you know, maybe be in the race.
Be in the race. I think they can play some September baseball that means something. I think that's a legitimate possibility and something they should be striving for.
Okay, that's valid.
And their division doesn't look as bad as everybody thought they were going to.
No, originally. The first 2 weeks in the season, there were a lot of bad records in this division.
I mean, the Braves had a really good start.
Yeah, and they're coming back down to earth.
The Mets had a really hot start,
too. The Mets were 11-1.
Yeah, they slowed down.
And they're 6-14 since.
They're 7-15 total.
Right.
Because they're the Mets. That's how they do it.
7-15 total.
Okay.
So they came down to earth a little bit.
That's 17-15, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you said 7-15.
Sorry, 17-15.
Yeah, so sorry, Frankie Costa. You know, the Mets ain't going to do it this year, buddy.
Yep.
But, all right, so that's kind of it for baseball, right? We still haven't hit anything big. In the next couple of weeks, we'll start being able to talk about, you know, all-star voting. And, you know, maybe some trade moves as we come closer to the end of July and the trade deadline. But as of right now, they're kind of just playing baseball, right? They're kind of just hitting the ball and doing what they can do. And, you know, we'll see what happens there. But we're going to move into Kyle's favorite topic here. And that would be the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yep.
Who are currently down 3-0 in their second round series.
Well, I have to ask before you start, is this officially 7 or 6 minutes now?
I don't know.
I don't think we have a title. We're gonna talk Sixers until we get tired of talking Sixers.
Hey, I'm tired of talking Sixers. Let's move on.
You have no say.
Okay, then I'll shut up and you can talk about the Sixers and how they're down 0-3.
Before you talk Sixers,
okay,
I'd like to talk basketball just a little bit.
Okay,
give it to
them. Hit me with it.
One of your pet peeves with basketball is the All-Star game, which I believe I've heard quoted as those 170 to 165 games.
Ridiculous.
Where they play no defense.
And I understand it's a basis, like that in every sport.
As a basis for hating the sport.
Right.
Well, the NHL All-Star game,
yeah,
which is your favorite sport and one of mine.
Yes.
I'm a hockey guy through and through.
I know.
They play 12, 11, 13, 12 All-Star games. They were so bad that they decided to just change the format.
Right, exactly. I was about to say.
And I know you're a bright guy.
They've doubled down on it. And they've decided they don't even pretend that's a real game.
But neither does the NBA. They don't.
I'm saying the NHL All-Star game itself isn't even...
So your defense of the NBA not playing any defense in the All-Star game is to say the NHL is not even going to try to play defense?
Yeah, because they acknowledge
that. That's you're a smarter guy than that.
But the NBA pretends that their All-Star game is still a basketball game. And it's not.
It's not an NBA basketball game. It's a schoolyard basketball game.
Okay, that's fair.
All I would like you to say is the NBA All-Star game score and lack of defense isn't necessarily the basis for saying the overall product.
No, that's fair.
Is not reflective of that.
Also, on a related note of high scores in the NBA, hey, Mike, how long is an NBA game? Because I believe you quoted it as a 60-minute game.
It is 48 minutes.
Oh, so it's only 8 minutes longer than a college game? And they're consistently scoring 30 or 40 points more in a game?
Well, they're better players. They're more talented.
So you would think they'd be better on defense.
No.
If they're better players.
No, they can shoot the ball better. You can't just tackle a guy at a three-point line. That's a weak argument.
Okay, but there's no excuse for an NBA player to be getting an uncontested three. Ever.
They're so good, even if it is contested, they're making it,
yeah,
what, 30% of the time?
Uncontested. That's my problem.
No, they're not.
Okay.
You haven't been watching enough of the playoffs.
It doesn't matter.
It's going to be hard for you to say what defense is or isn't played in the game if you're not watching it.
Sure, but I can tell by looking at the score.
Well, as far as the score goes, yes, in the 90s and the 2000s, Jordan, Larry Bird, those guys, yes, a high-scoring NBA game was 103-102, right. 106-99. That was a fairly, and you would get, again, especially in the Pistons bad boy era, you'd get games in the 80s and low 90s, absolutely.
Right.
But, again, you're a bright guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you strictly.
Don't get carried away.
strictly mathematics.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
If you take 50 shots... Yeah. In an NBA game from the two-point line, what's the maximum number of points
it's
you can score?
Points.
Okay. If you take 50 from the three-point line,
it's 150.
150. Yeah. If you are very good in your evening's shooting from the two-point line and you make 50% of your baskets,
okay,
how many points do you have?
If you took 50 shots, you have 50 points.
50 points.
Right.
If you make a bad percentage from the three-point line, a bad percentage of 35%, how many points do you have? And I'll do the math for you. Math is 54.
Okay.
So you have 4 points more. 4 points more shooting a much worse percentage. Most NBA players shooting three-pointers can hit 40% at a regular clip, which would then net you 60 points. So you have 10 points more. If in the NHL, you put a circle from an arc from circle to circle, and if you scored a goal from beyond that arc, you got a goal and a half. Don't you think you would see a rise of goals scored from that direction? Or if not... goals, at least certainly shot attempts.
Yeah, but I also can guarantee you that NHL players, they wouldn't get a wide open look at that shot.
Well, again, you're making an assumption that these guys
I think that's a safe assumption.
Steph Curry will hit a three with you all over him.
That's fine. But the number of I would love to look up the number of uncontested shots taken in an average NBA game. Because that number should be close to zero.
You're not allowing for ball movement. You're not allowing for screens and picks. By that definition, the final scores should be 20 to 25.
Well, no, and I'm not saying...
I mean, you're going to get some open looks just by ball movement if the offense gets paid to move and get guys open too.
That's fair, but let's account for five a quarter.
That's 20 points a game.
That's 20 shots a game.
Oh, okay, shots. Okay.
Okay, so that's 40 to 60 points, depending on the mix of twos and threes. That's about where I want the max to be. And I wouldn't be surprised if the number was higher. And I don't know the number. And I think Mike's doing some Googling here. But I wouldn't be surprised if that number was closer to 9 or 10 per quarter.
I'm not sure what your...
Uncontested shots. Where... just a guy finds himself wide open and takes a shot with nobody.
So is your premise they're just not trying to play defense?
Yes.
I don't understand that premise because these guys are getting paid and they want to win. You forget about take out the getting paid. They want to win, and you can't win without playing defense.
Yeah, but
are some guys prone to not play defense because they're all about numbers and getting paid? Yeah, that's in the game.
Yeah, and you can say the same thing about the NHL.
Exactly.
There are players in the NHL who don't play defense.
Exactly.
Even going back to Erik Karlsson, his first two seasons, he kind of had that reputation.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it seems to me, as someone who played the game at a very low level for a medium amount of time.
Rec league?
Yes. I recognize this. I never played college ball. I never even played high school ball. I didn't make the middle school team. I was not very good. And we only had 9 people try out for the middle school team.
Understood.
I played at a very low level for a medium amount of time. But one of the things I was always taught was... no open looks. And yes, sure, sometimes they happen, especially in the NBA where the players are very fast. Sometimes you get a guy who leaks out at half court, somebody hits him with the stretch pass, and he's got a wide open layup. That's fine. But when I see guys take 3 steps through the middle and nobody has a body anywhere near him, and it's the easiest layup I've ever seen, it drives me insane.
You're not watching the game then.
Okay, that's correct.
Well, I think also may be hearkening back a little bit to the Michael Jordan rules, no easy layups. You really, in today's NBA, can't do that. You lose the ball. You lose the foul shots. You may even lose the player. as long as you're attempting to play the ball, you can hard foul, but you can't just Jordan rules a guy coming down the lane anymore. You just can't do it.
Well, I was always taught you get in front of him, you set your feet, you take the charge.
Sure, sure. But there's times that that's not... Did you watch the Villanova game and any of that Villanova run?
Yeah, I watched a decent amount of the tournament.
And you prefer the college game to the pro game. And so do I.
Yes.
Did you recall any Villanova players getting any open looks at three?
Not really.
Really?
A couple.
I saw one after another, after another, after another. They won the game from the three-point line. They won the tournament.
Well, they shot from 50% that whole tournament.
To be fair, though, the delta between Villanova and some of their opponents in that series was pretty large. They were just a much better team than a lot of teams in that tournament. A lot. Not all, but a lot.
Did he just spring delta on me?
Yeah.
There was a delta there.
They I like that.
And...
Oh, they were clearly the best team.
They looked like they were playing against high school teams.
They were clearly the best team. But that
in the NBA, when everyone's on the same level, there shouldn't be as much of that.
Not everybody's on the same level.
Okay. When everybody is conceivably on the same level.
They're not conceivably on the same level.
When everybody's operating in the same league under the same salary cap.
Were the Sixers operating under the same salary cap the last 5 years?
I mean...
Were they appreciably as good as everybody else?
Theoretically.
No. Right. So they're not all the same.
Right. Well, and
my point about Villanova, and I apologize for speaking over you. My point about Villanova wasn't they were not the better team. They clearly were the best team. My point was they play defense in college much more so, your argument goes, than in the NBA. And I think I even agree with that.
Right.
But there were a ton of open looks for Villanova.
And I think
that's what made them good. They know how to do it.
Right. Well, and I think that is just because their players had more pure talent than the people playing around them. And in the NBA,
and so
you would
do the LeBron James of the world.
That gap to be smaller. You would expect that gap to be smaller in the NBA.
There's not one player on that Villanova team that's going to go in the top 15.
Okay. So they're not going to be LeBron James's or whoever. Make your comparisons, Kevin Durant's. But if they're going to be NBA players. Maybe they're going to be...
Brunson will be an NBA player.
Maybe they'll be fifth, sixth, seventh guys on a lot of teams.
Brunson will be an NBA player, maybe even a very good NBA player.
Right, but the thing is, in the NBA, there's 32 teams, and there's 10 guys per team. There's 320 guys in the league.
Right.
In the NCAA, even just in the tournament, there's 64 teams.
I understand.
And then in the NCAA as a whole, there's, what, 120?
My premise was...
The talent spread much thinner.
Yeah, but the game... You're saying they play defense.
Right.
They do. In college basketball, I think they do play more defense. I think that's fair.
Right.
But even in a game where they're playing more defense, you still get open looks. That's my point.
Right.
So the NBA, you're going to get open looks. It doesn't mean you're not playing defense.
And what are average college scores?
75, 80.
I think it's in the high end, though. Isn't it?
I was going to say, I would usually think mid-60s to mid-70s.
Mid to high 60s?
Maybe 70.
Okay, and then in the tournament, it creeps down a little bit even more because guys lock it up a little bit.
I don't think it goes down.
I think in like the Elite Eight, Final Four, it kind of creeps up a little bit because when you're down to the good teams, guys lock it up. Teams lock it up. Like you saw, there was one team this year. I don't remember exactly who it was. Texas Tech, maybe? Somebody played really good defense, and they won games where they were in the mid-60s, and their opponents were in the low 50s.
The team Villanova played... With the full court press, very good defensively. And I think Villanova still put almost 80 on him.
Yeah.
Villanova averaged 86.6 points per game this year.
Because 3 points counts more than two.
Exactly.
Hot take.
That's my point.
That's our hot take of the day from a Mike Gilletto. It's not the Mike Gilletto, but it's a Mike Gilletto.
And I'll be happy to end this basketball talk on this note.
We're still going to talk Sixers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Talk about the Sixers getting swept out of the second round.
There's a game tonight.
Are you going to tell me to watch? Because I'm not going to do it.
But you'll know a lot more next week. You'll know a lot more next week whether what you feel, look at it as an educational thing that, hey, everything I feel about the NBA is true and I stick by my guns, or, hey, I watched it. You know what? Maybe I need a little more open mind on this one.
But I'd rather watch paint dry. I would.
Yeah.
And Mike can vouch. Mike Jr. Can vouch. My dad said the same thing. He texted me and said, "Tell Mike I would also rather watch."
And you
paint
guys
dry.
Are both morons.
I thought.
No offense.
I thought you were smarter than that.
Well, That's your fault for thinking that.
I've given you a mathematical and logical reason to give it a shot.
You've been in the same fantasy league as me for a while. You know I'm not that smart. I've made some dumb trades.
You made some good ones too.
Only with you, right?
I think it was a good one.
All right, listen, let's go into Sixers.
Listen, game three, I mean, you talk about the scoring, 101-98, and it went into overtime. That's okay. A pretty low scoring game.
Fine. Game four is tonight.
That's your argument? Fine.
Game four is tonight. Who's going to win? It's in Philly.
Yep.
So I got to make sure to get home before traffic starts.
Listen, well, I think it's a 6 o'clock game too, isn't it?
It's a 6 o'clock game. What is that?
Well, it actually makes more sense in the NHL.
Because
what the NHL does is they'll put two games on at like 7 and 7:30. So now you're forced to switch back and forth. The NBA does it this way. So this way you could watch one game and then right after that another one starts. So you don't have to choose what game you want to go to.
Didn't their last game start at like 8:30 with both teams in the Eastern Conference?
Did it?
No, I don't know.
I don't think so. You don't watch. So
what time did that game start? The one you're looking at right now.
It doesn't have a time on here.
There was no other game when the Sixers were on, I'm almost certain.
Right. No, and I'm fine with staggering it out, but 6 o'clock?
Well, they know this first half doesn't really matter.
Okay.
I just went against my entire argument.
Would you ever say that about a hockey game? Ah, the first period doesn't matter.
No, if you score 3 goals in the first period, that's going to have an impact throughout the game. Of course, it's a different game.
I honestly had a hard second of just being stunned right there when you said that. Wow, the first half doesn't matter. Well, and the fact that the Sixers have developed a little bit of a reputation for blowing leads.
That's an NBA thing. It's not just a Sixers thing.
Yeah, it is an NBA.
Sixers have taken it to another level.
Now the team up by 30 should play good defense, right?
Yeah, it was 22.
Give the other team no good
looks. It was 22, but they've gotten heavily outcoached in the series.
Okay, Flyers are up 4 goals and lose the game. You're throwing a hissy fit.
The Flyers didn't, if I remember correctly, in game 6, didn't the Flyers blow two goal leads?
Yes.
There you go.
Sure. And how much?
2 of them, and they look dead asleep.
Okay. Talk to me about the Sixers looking dead asleep and blowing a 22-point lead.
Okay, it happens.
Okay. Celtics in 4.
It happens.
That doesn't make the product worse because they blew a lead.
That's fine, but saying things like the first half doesn't matter, that's an indictment of the league.
I agree.
Because...
But yeah, you're talking about a possession in hockey where a goal can, you know, you only score 3 of them potentially in a game maybe,
right.
Where... You know, in basketball, obviously there's, 60 possessions?
Okay, would you say...
80 possessions?
Would you say it in football?
No, of course not.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I, when it comes to basketball, I'll routinely watch a game. When there's 2 minutes left, I'll turn around to my son and say, Mike, this game didn't even start yet.
Yeah, and then the last 2 minutes takes 40. Because
that's the only part of the game that really matters.
They have, 6 timeouts per team? 5? Something like that? Half?
And if you were watching the last 3 games the Sixers have played, you'll see how important those last 2 minutes are.
I understand. Because
they've completely kicked 2 of those games away.
I understand. But at the same time, the last 2 minutes takes routinely upwards of a half hour.
Because they're so much more important than the other 46 minutes.
Right, because that's the only 2 minutes where they actually play defense.
I disagree with that. It just intensifies the importance.
See what I deal with on a week-to-week basis?
It's a little tougher on this side.
Yeah.
All right. What is your honest analysis of the series?
They're going to win.
And your prediction for the rest of the way?
I said it. They've gotten heavily outcoached. Heavily. Brett Brown doesn't know what he's doing in the playoffs, at least the series.
In another classic example of the Philly fan base being extraordinarily fickle, I see people all day long on Twitter saying right now, that Brett Brown isn't the guy because of this series.
No, that's dumb.
I've seen a bunch of people. Brett Brown's not the guy. They're never going to win a title with him. Get him out of here.
I've seen a lot of people say the same thing about him for a while, not just this series.
Right.
So it's the same people returning and coming back.
That's fair.
But
2 weeks ago,
he looks
overmatched. 2 weeks ago, he was the savior.
Well, yeah, because they won like 17 games in a row without Joel Embiid.
Okay.
I mean, that warrants some sort of praise.
Speaking strictly to Kyle's point, he is 100%, now don't fall off your chair, he is 100% correct. They beat the Miami Heat in 5, and they would have built statues to him. They're down 3-0, and they want him fired. He's 100% right. It's exactly what the fan base does.
Those probably aren't the same people.
I think a lot of them are.
You think?
Yeah, people, I really do.
People are directly flip-flopping like that?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, yeah, okay. Same thing with Kapler. After the first series, everybody wanted him gone. After one series, and now people are saying, oh, give him a shot. You know, he's winning some games. So
they booed him at home.
Yeah.
What other manager in Philly's history has gotten booed at his home debut?
I can't think of one.
Right, and you've been around for a long time.
Wow.
Much longer than Mike or myself.
It takes a very special set of circumstances for that to happen.
Well, I mean, he is old. He's your father. He's literally just older than us. You're older than me, and he's your father.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Can we use older, not old?
Nah, we'll go with old. How old were you when the Flyers won their cups?
I was 10 when they won the first cup.
You were 10? Wow, my dad was born that year. You are old.
Taking shots now.
All right. Actually, I think I was 9. Okay. Yeah, it was 73 was the first one. I'm sorry,
they were,
I was
like,
9.
You were 9 and 10 for the two?
Correct.
So which... Senior, what's your analysis of the series? Do you think the Sixers can make a comeback here? And if not, do you think they at least win game four tonight?
I think they definitely win game four. I think the Brett Brown thing, what his mistakes have been is I think he's tried to coach for the long haul instead of trying to coach to win the series. He's tried to let the players figure it out for themselves as they go along, again, for the championship runs that he feels are coming in the future. And I think that has sacrificed the present. Both in the 22-point lead that they blew and in the conclusion in the last 3 or 4 minutes of this game in the overtime that they just played. But I will say this. No team's ever come back from 3-0 in the NBA, mostly because the team that's up 3-0.
Can I interject for a second? Do you know who the last team in sports that came back from a 3-0 deficit?
I'm going to guess the Flyers.
Was it the 2010 Flyers?
The Philadelphia 2010 Flyers. Okay.
I was at game 6 of that Boston series, by the way. Against Boston.
That's what I was going with.
Boston has home ice.
And Boston, game 4 of that series?
Went into overtime.
May 7th. Today?
May 7th.
A little freaky.
Because it's the NBA, game 7 won't be for 3 more weeks.
So. Also a legitimate criticism. But what happened in game 4? The middle of game 4.
You're talking about Krejci?
Krejci, exactly. Yeah. It was a huge, huge turnaround in that series.
Speaking of David Krejci, he didn't get injured Sunday night. David Backus got injured Sunday night.
Yeah.
But
other Bruin.
Yeah.
They're out anyway.
Dude, if you look at that Bruins team, a lot of them were there in 2010.
Yeah.
That team, it's insane. Chara, Marchand, Krejci, Backus, Bergeron, Rask.
Yeah,
the core of that team has stuck around for a very long time.
And they've been very good.
And they've done a great job of restocking the cabinets with young prospects.
Correct.
We'll get into that. The NHL in a little bit. Predictions for the Sixers series.
I believe they lose in 6.
Wow, you think they win game 5 in Boston?
I do. Okay. I do. Here's my point. No team's ever done it in the NBA come back from a 3-0. The biggest reason is because the team that goes up 3-0 is 99 times out of 100 the better team.
Yep.
Here, I honestly believe the Sixers have more talent. So I think they are as prepared as any team's ever been down 3-0 to make a run to come back. I still don't think they can do
That's what's so surprising is Boston's so banged up. I mean, Hayward's out, Kyrie's out. I mean, the fact that they're up 3-0 in this series and playing with bench players is insane.
They know who they are, and they're very well coached, and they do what they do well, and they are relentless. They don't give up. They grind out like a hockey team every possession.
They are who we thought they were.
All right, Kyle. I don't even want to ask, but what's your prediction?
You know what? I'm gonna crank it up for maximum heartbreak here. Sixers win game 4.
Okay.
Sixers win game 5. Sixers win game 6. Sixers get their doors blown off in Boston.
So I thought you were gonna do one better and say they got hit with a game winning, you know, 3 to lose.
Oh no, they lose by 40.
Okay.
And just get embarrassed.
I actually think they lose in 5.
Okay. So everybody thinks they win tonight between the time the show is recorded and the time the show goes up. So you guys will already know. I wouldn't be surprised if Boston wins tonight and just finishes it off.
Wouldn't be shocked either.
No. But that's pretty much it for Sixers. That was 17 or 16 minutes.
we're halfway done the show.
10 of it was basketball. 7 or 6 of it was Sixers.
That's fair. And now we're going to move into some hockey. And we had Vegas last night win their series in 6 games to make it to the Western Conference Finals as an expansion team.
Absurd.
How absurd is that? Now, Senior, how many expansions do you remember? Because I know you've seen a lot of them.
NHL expansion?
NHL only or all sports?
No, in NHL.
NHL, they've been traditionally the most painful.
Right.
The Kansas City Scouts, the Washington Capitals were bad for decades.
The only one I remember, vividly, is Columbus and Minnesota around the turn of the century.
That was what, 03-ish?
Right, and Columbus still hasn't won a postseason series.
Right.
And Minnesota's won one last year.
Maybe a couple, right. Yeah.
Like, both of these teams are not great. They're finally starting to turn it upwards. You know, Minnesota looks pretty good. Columbus looks pretty good, but expansion teams in general are bad.
Yeah, it was in 2000.
Right. And expansion teams in general are bad. And not just mediocre. They are bad.
Bad.
They are... They couldn't beat a medium AHL team. Like, they are bad because of the protection rules. And we've heard a lot this season about the changes in the protection rules and the fact that teams could protect fewer guys this time around. And that's part of the reason that Vegas gets guys like Marc-Andre Fleury and William Karlsson and Alex Tuch and these guys who are good young players, but their teams just couldn't
protect. Yeah, but these are also guys that nobody really wanted. I mean, Belmar's having a legitimate role with them. You know, Lucas Spezza, who we basically threw away Spezza and Belmar.
Right.
The now, Flyers, so...
And there were 31 teams in the NHL that easily could have had Theo Fleury if they wanted him. Easily.
Marc-Andre.
I'm sorry.
Theo Fleury has not been around in quite a while.
Wrong Fleury. I'm
this
showing,
goes
I'm
back
showing
to
my
you
age.
Being old. Point confirmed.
There was any team could have had Fleury. They could have easily made a trade with Vegas because they didn't think they were going anywhere either.
Right. No, they were ready to tank. They were shopping James Neal. They were shopping Marc-Andre Fleury. And then... They came out and had, what, 109 points this year?
Insane.
They won their division. They lit the world on fire. And I don't think anybody expected that out of Vegas. And then everybody expected them to get their teeth kicked in by LA. Maybe they win two games, I heard a lot of people saying. And what do? They come out and sweep them. Yep. The Drew Doughty, Jonathan Quick, Anze Kopitar-led Los Angeles Kings and the... Nobody, Las Vegas Golden Knights, swept them. Four straight.
Speaking of the Kings, I don't think we talked about it last week. It's absurd that Claude Giroux is not a Hart nominee.
Yeah. I think we did mention that, didn't we?
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Was Kopitar one of the three?
Kopitar.
Was Kopitar, McKinnon, and Hall?
Yep.
Yeah. The fact that McKinnon got it over Giroux is an absolute joke.
No, I get that
or
one.
Or not McKinnon. I'm sorry. Kopitar got it over Giroux is an absolute joke.
Yep.
Senior,
I agree.
Thoughts?
I see the reason why you
second
would think Giroux is a Hart contender.
102 points.
I know he had 102 points.
Second in the league.
But I don't think...
A hat trick on the final day.
I don't think he was as important to the Flyers as those three guys were to their team. I don't... I think he was a legitimate choice if he were in there. It's hard to make the argument against them. But I think most of his points were scored against bad teams.
I think when they released the full voting list, he will have gotten fourth.
That's possible. And it's not undeserved. Even if you were in the top three, it's not undeserved. But I don't think he was better than those players. I don't think he had a better year than those players.
Right. And we talked about most valuable versus most outstanding.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like,
absolutely.
Kopitar isn't a finalist for the Lindsay. McDavid took that spot. And I think he absolutely deserves that spot because he was the most outstanding player in the league. Led the league in points by a pretty significant margin. But it's tough to not put Claude Giroux in most valuable. Just especially, like, honestly, I know it's more than just one day or one week, but what he did on that final day of the season.
I understand.
What he did, putting the team on his back.
But who did he do it against?
Sure. That's fair.
That's fair. If you look at his points against teams under 500, against his points against teams over 500,
right.
It's a very interesting research.
Yeah, and then I have no problem with McKinnon. Hall.
No, not at all.
Because they were both playing
fantastic years.
They were both playing with high school teams.
They got their teams into the playoffs.
Right. And they both carried their team single-handedly to the playoffs. My problem is only solely with Anze Kopitar. Because
he had a great year, though.
Sure, but so did Drew Doughty. So did Jonathan Quick. So did all these other guys on his team. And if you want to claim that the Flyers also did that, Ghost had a good year, Kuturia had a good year, Voracek had a good year. If you want to make those points, that's fine. But Giroux had more points than Kopitar, so that should at least be the tiebreaker. Right?
How many more points did he have?
Three or four, I believe, Mike. He had 102 points.
I'll check it out. I don't know. But, I mean, Giroux had more points than anybody not named McDavid, who's the best player in the league.
Right.
Well, I'll argue with you on that one, but that's for a different day.
You're going to argue that McDavid's the best player in the league?
No, best players win games.
His team's a train wreck.
He had no goalie.
His team went to the semifinals last year.
He had no goalie.
Yeah.
Cam Talbot had a career year last year.
Cam Talbot fell off the face of the earth.
I understand, but how does the other team doesn't score a goal if the puck's not in their zone?
That's fair.
Okay.
No, that's valid.
McDavid has a lot to grow to become Stevie Y. Stevie Y was a phenom his first three or four years. Couldn't win.
Claude Giroux had 102 points. Kopitar had 92.
I understand that's 10 points.
You asked how many, and that's I'm telling you.
And if you take into the account the things that Kopitar does that Giroux doesn't do anymore.
Okay.
He was never a speedster, Giroux, ever.
Right.
But
well,
at least
Claude's thing was always winning faceoffs. He's always been very good in the dot.
And he can still do that, and you can't say he does it better than Kopitar. They're a very, very fair comparison.
I think you call it a wash.
Exactly. If
the two of them face off,
Giroux may even be a little
times.
Bit better. Yeah, it'll go 51-49.
52-48.
Yeah, something.
Like
it's absolutely.
A small margin there. I'll give you that.
So Kopitar does one thing that Giroux just at this really never did in a big way in his career, but certainly not at this age. He doesn't carry the play. That's why they moved him to wing, and it's not an accident that he had more points on the wing than he did at center. He can't carry the play at center the way Kopitar can, and that makes him, to me, more valuable.
I think he was due for a bounce-back year regardless, because we talked a lot about last season. He was still recovering from that injury.
Yeah, no, health played a
big
part.
So I think he was going to have a bounce-back season regardless. Maybe not 102, and I do think that sacrificing some of the defensive responsibility that goes along with being a center really helped him out this year.
It certainly did.
And especially when you have a guy like Sean Couturier, who you know can handle the defensive responsibilities involved there. He's been one of the best defensive centers in the league for several years.
Correct.
And also the fact that he's not a Selke finalist. Wait, is he a finalist? No, he is a finalist, but he's not going to win it. Right?
Kopitar?
I think he will win.
No, yeah, Couturier.
He's a finalist. Yeah.
Couturier is a finalist, Couturier, but he's not going to win it.
Couturier, Bergeron, and
Kopitar.
Right. The fact that Couturier is a finalist, but we all know he's not going to win it because it's going to be Kopitar.
And it should be Kopitar.
That's fair.
If he's a Hart Trophy candidate.
Right. But if he
also plays great defense, you figure he should win the Selke.
Right. He will. And if you want to talk about the defensive side of the center position, that's fine. Go ahead. Give that to Kopitar. Give him the Selke. He's earned it.
And there's one last thing that Kopitar doesn't do that Giroux does on a regular basis.
Okay.
Just completely turn the puck over to the other team in the offensive zone for a 2-on-1 break the other way. Not as bad as Voracek, but a very close second.
I know how you feel about Giroux.
But a very close second.
But do you know that Kopitar doesn't do that? Do you watch? I'm not fighting you here.
I don't watch 75 games a year like I do the Flyers.
Okay.
But I watch their playoff games. I watch the games against the Flyers. I watch the 10 a.m. games on the weekends and things like that.
Okay.
Kopitar just doesn't make those mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes.
Right.
He doesn't make those mistakes on a routine, regular basis.
That's fair.
Giroux does it a lot.
I think sometimes Claude tries to do too much.
Absolutely.
And I know for a fact Jake tries to do too much.
No, he's just got a 5-cent head.
Yeah.
That's valid, but I think Jake had a really good year. You got to give him that.
Well, again, if you throw 3,000 passes, you're going to get 60, 70 assists. The problem is 2,500 of those other passes went the other way.
He brings up good points.
Oh, it's 100% true. Yeah. All you do is
watch the game. They're not bad points.
No. But it is true. He does turn the puck over a ton.
And in the worst places.
Yep,
that's fair. What do you think the Flyers need to do this offseason, Senior?
They need a legit number one center.
Is Sean Couturier not a legit number one center to you?
No, I love Sean Couturier. I've had a tremendous year. You're probably about maxed out at his ceiling.
Okay.
And if that is your number one center, you have no shot at winning the Stanley Cup.
I think if he's your number one center with 102-point Claude Giroux on one wing and up-and-coming Travis Konecny on the other, I think you're fine.
You just had that and you got smoked.
You didn't get smoked because of the first line. I don't think. Not in the playoffs. Now, Claude
Giroux was
didn't
invisible.
Have a good season.
You know what? Giroux was not invisible. Voracek was invisible.
Right.
Giroux, actually, at least you saw him make some bad plays.
Yeah, but the fact that Sean Couturier had a great series.
Fantastic series.
Even with Claude Giroux sometimes being an active deterrent, that tells me that Sean Couturier is a number one center, regardless of who he plays.
The reason they lost that series was defense.
Turnovers, absolutely. You said that last week, and it was 100% correct. But now, imagine Sean Couturier is your second center.
Okay.
And he can give you the offense that he gave you, maybe even a little bit less, while also shutting down the other team's best center.
Okay.
Imagine he goes head-to-head with Crosby in a series almost explicitly, and your number one center.
Historically, he's been matched up with
Malkin. I understand that, but Malkin's not the player that Crosby is. So if you can get your number one center playing against the other team's number two, while your number two is playing against their number one, that's a team that can make a cup run.
That's fair.
Give me John Tavares all day long.
I don't love him.
We just talked about the defensive part of the center position, and John Tavares doesn't do it.
Yeah, no, I don't love him, dude.
No, but you can slide Couturier down to the second line, and that's where your defensive responsibility is going to be.
Who's your first line defensively responsible guy? If you move
Couturier, you don't need one if you're in the offensive zone the whole time.
That's not how the game works.
Sure
you
it
know
is.
It.
Sure it is.
It's not.
No.
It's not. How has Sidney Crosby learned to play in his zone?
Do you really want a line of Claude Giroux, John Tavares, and Travis Konecny getting pinned in their defensive zone for 4 minutes
they
while
wouldn't.
The other team cycles the
they
puck?
They wouldn't.
Oh, it will happen.
No,
you're
it wouldn't.
Dumb. It
no,
will happen.
You're dumb. That happens every game.
Tavares is defensively responsible.
Let me ask you a question
no,
about.
Not.
Yes, he is.
How long has Tavares been in New York at the Islanders?
Six or seven years.
So yeah, something like that.
How much better are they today than the year he got there?
The Islanders are a train wreck.
How much better is the team?
It's. They're the exact same.
Exactly. That tells you all you need to know about John Tavares.
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
So he's only a good player if he's playing with good players around him?
Everybody's only a good player if they play with good players around him. You saw Travis Konecny was awful.
You just said Connor McDavid was the best player in the league.
Okay, what's that to do with anything?
The team players around him are terrible. Is he a good player or not?
Yeah, he's a good player.
Okay, then he's a good player without good players around him. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So
I don't understand your argument with that.
Well, you just said that people are only good with other good people around them.
No,
that's
not
how it works.
You're better with. I mean,
of course, every player's better
exactly.
with better players around them.
Exactly.
What
right,
I'm
obviously.
Saying is, how much different are the New York Islanders in the
They're
7 or 8 years?
They're a train wreck. Their goaltending's awful. Their defense is terrible. And after Tavares, I mean, this year they had Barzal, but after that, there's literally nobody.
Josh Bailey.
But Bailey has had a good season because he's played with John Tavares.
The NHL is full. Of players that in their first 3 or 4 years didn't get it, had all the upside offensive ability. I can list them ad nauseum. Steve Yzerman, Mike Modano. There's one after another. Doug Gilmore. I can name 300 of them. Okay, and in their first 3 or 4 years, the
can you name anybody from this century or?
Steve Yzerman doesn't. You don't know Steve Yzerman?
Barely. Wow. I know Stevie Y.
He didn't start watching hockey until like 07.
Listen, I know Stevie Y. I'm just making a joke because you're old.
So if you then all those players made the transition from I can score 100 points to I can bite your nose off to win this game, and they all made that transition. Throw your Sidney Crosby. There's one that you know nobody hates Crosby more than I do. The guy's become a flat out beast. Will bite your nose off to win the game and do it well. Okay, he'll throw his face in front of a puck. That's what it takes, and I don't see Tavares ever becoming that player. He hasn't done it in 7 or 8 years. That
the
player makes
been
it
bad.
Yeah, but that player that I'm talking about makes everybody else in the locker room better.
All right, but you asked for you said you think they need a number one center this offseason.
Right.
If it's not John Tavares, who is it?
That's an argument for
that's the question.
That's a great question. You have
I
to
mean,
find
you
him
think
somewhere.
I mean, do you think Nolan Patrick is that guy?
I think Nolan Patrick
not next year.
Okay.
Not next year.
You say for next year you want a number one center. John Tavares is 100% that guy.
No, what I said they need and what I said they can get might be two different things.
That's another reason I'm not 100% sold on Tavares because I want Patrick getting second line minutes as opposed to third.
He'll get the same amount of minutes no matter what line he plays.
Okay, let's put it this way. I would rather have him playing with Jake Voracek and Oscar Lindblom than whoever scrubs up on the third line this year. How about that?
Why?
Is that better?
Third line, he'll probably play with Wayne Simmons. And you get a healthy Wayne
and
Simmons.
And Jordan Wheel?
Okay.
I'd rather have him up there with Jake Voracek.
Why? So he never gets a puck because Jake Voracek passes to the other team?
I mean, he had like 60-some assists this year. And with a guy like Nolan Patrick, who knows how to put the biscuit in the basket... They both have 70-plus points next year, if that's the line. I'm going to say it right now. If they both have 70-plus points, if they both...
You think Nolan Patrick is going to get 70-plus points? Was that your prediction?
If Nolan Patrick and Jake Voracek are two-thirds of your second line this upcoming season, this fall, they both have 70-plus point seasons. Yes. Assuming they all stay healthy.
Okay.
What do you think?
And if he does that with Voracek, they'll both be a minus 20.
Who cares?
I do. That's how you win hockey games.
They both have 70-plus points. You give up 20, fine. You're still plus 50. That's
but
fine.
Combining your point, I don't want Tavares stunting the growth of Patrick, but I would take a better first-line center stunting Patrick. Just not Tavares because he doesn't bring enough
but
to the table.
Who else is there?
I'm not saying there isn't, but maybe it's a trade. Maybe it's not a signing.
Yeah, but when does a first-line center become available? It's not every day that happens via trade.
The Flyers have the prospect pool to do it if they want to do it.
No, there's a reason why the Flyers don't have one. It's because it's very, very, very hard to get. You have to get lucky and end up with Sidney Crosby sitting on your lap.
If the Flyers make an offer for Jonathan Toews and it involves a couple good picks and prospects, you don't think Chicago thinks about that?
I wouldn't do it.
How old is Toews?
32.
I understand.
If he's making $10.5 million for the next 7 or 8 years.
If you want your first line center, you're going to have to pay for it.
True.
And sometimes it's an age. Sometimes it's in a bad contract. Sometimes it's in.
I think right now, I think the gap between Taves and Tavares isn't very big one. And he's 26 or 27 years old.
I also don't think Jonathan Taves is going to come to Philadelphia. Even if they offered him the same exact deal everybody else. Let's say 15
teams. You mean Jonathan Tavares? You said John Tavares.
I said John Tavares.
You said John Taves.
Okay, I meant John Tavares. Okay. I don't think John Tavares comes here, even if every team backs. You know, if every team offers him the same deal, I don't think he comes here.
I agree. But I think he's going to stay put.
Based on what? Why wouldn't he come here?
I just don't think he would. I honestly think that he's been in that organization for so long.
And they've stunk for so long.
There's a division loyalty. He wouldn't come to a division team.
I think he's going to stay there. I don't think he's not going to come here because he doesn't want to come here.
Quite frankly, I don't think
Hextall's going to sign him because he's not that type of GM.
What's different than he won't come here?
Quite frankly, I think he's going to Montreal.
Why?
He's a Canadian boy. They need a center bad. And they were a bad team this year. And that city does not tolerate a bad team 2 years in a row.
It's not impossible.
And if Vancouver doesn't want to completely retool, I could see him going to Vancouver. Imagine Vancouver and Tavares and Besser on the same team. That's a scary team.
They still need a ton of defense and goaltending.
That's fine, but if they don't want to hit the tank,
they're hitting the tank.
They're going to back the truck up to John Tavares. If they don't want to waste good Brock Besser years,
he's 22 years, 21 years old.
I understand, but you also have to remember that the Canadian teams don't like losing. The Canadian teams don't tolerate losing 2 or 3 years in a row.
Okay, the Edmonton Oilers are terrible. Are they going to sign them?
If they didn't have to pay Draisaitl and McDavid $40 billion for the next decade and a half, they would.
Okay. I'm all for paying John Tavares, whatever he wants, whatever he needs.
It's not going to happen.
If you can do it for 3 years... I'm all in.
He's got no chance.
That's exactly what I said.
I'd rather give him $20 million for 3 years than $60 million for six.
Yeah.
Nope. Now, give him whatever he wants.
And I talked about that a little bit on last week's show. You got to think about all the youth that the Flyers have to sign, right? Konechny, Provorov, Hag, Sanheim, Marin eventually.
Half of those guys were bums that you just named.
There's no money.
Half of those guys were bums. And... you say there's no
money.
Do you
see what I deal with on a weekly basis?
They were. What did you name? Robert Hague and Sam Moran?
Sam Moran definitely doesn't belong in your argument.
He's going to play in the NHL this year.
Oh, it doesn't mean you're going to pay him big bucks when his contract's up.
Right. He's going
to
play.
And Hague is nobody to worry about.
I know. He's going to play good minutes this
year. Okay, but then you said there's no money around anywhere. McDonald comes off the books in a year or two.
Okay.
Simmons comes off the books. Gudas comes off the books.
First of all.
There's a ton of money right there. Neuwirth and Elliott come off the books in 2 years.
Well, when Neuwirth and Elliott come off the books, your goaltending role will be filled. That's fair.
Okay, and he's getting $900,000 for 3 years.
Breathe. Relax. When Simmons comes off the books, it's what, $3.5 million?
Something like that.
Gudas is making somewhere in the same neighborhood.
Yep.
McDonald is the big chunk.
Yep.
So that's $11 million.
Okay.
Nolan Patrick? We've already talked about the fact that Ivan Provorov, we'll back the truck up to him.
I wouldn't go that far quite yet.
Yeah, I love Provorov. I love everything about him. Okay, to put him as a top five defenseman in the NHL already?
He's not
that good.
I'm ready to give him 6 years at $5 million, $6 million.
Why? You don't have to.
I want to lock him up long term. If I give him a bridge deal, he has the option.
He'll be here as long as you want him to be here.
I hope so.
There's no reason to worry about Provorov going anywhere.
But the bridge deals are kind of starting to go out of fashion. That first deal tends to be a longer deal now.
Look at what they're tied up with Ghost already.
Yeah, and it's a great deal.
That's a terrific deal.
$4.5 million?
$4.5 million for 6 years.
For 6 years?
If we get this Ghost that we just got, that's a terrific deal.
You got a guy who can't get on the ice for the last 5 minutes of a game.
That's coaching.
Well, listen, that's
because Hacksaw's a moron.
That'll come around.
You don't see him as a defensive liability.
Not as much as I did this year. Other than
he wasn't as much this year.
He was their best.
Part of the reason though is because he was playing with Provorov.
No, right. No, Provorov. Okay, I think they lifted each other up. Ghost was their best defenseman this year.
I agree with that.
Best overall defenseman in both ways. Yep.
But again, part of the reason was because he was playing with Provorov.
Not really. At the beginning of the year, Provorov was with McDonald.
About halfway through the season, Ghost went and played with Provorov. But, and this is, again, a coaching issue, and I have a major problem with it. You can't play 55 minutes of a game with Provorov and Ghost together then you're protecting a 3-2 lead, and you sit Ghost and put Provorov out there with somebody else. It doesn't make any sense.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Especially when that person is McDonald or Gudas. Right.
And what did the Flyers have a habit of doing? An insane habit of doing.
Sitting back.
Giving up goals in the last minute of a game.
So they just sit back.
If you're doing it over and over and over, then what you're doing isn't working. So keep Provorov and Ghost together and see if it works.
Because he's stubborn. The coach is stubborn. He doesn't know how to play.
Takes one to know one.
Is that right? LaPierre better get fired too. He there's no way he comes back as a penalty kill coach because their penalty kills looked awful. The
penalty kill was bad.
They don't chase.
No, they don't. I mean, you look at the Vegas series.
But you don't want your team to chase.
Yes, you do.
I totally disagree.
No, Vegas
is all.
How do you be aggressive
without chasing? You aggressively swing your stick back and forth to the passing zone.
Vegas penalty kill has been terrific because they're aggressive and they chase you and they don't give you any sort of space whatsoever.
I don't think the Flyers have the skill on the ice during penalty kill situations. I'm not saying not on the roster. On the ice during penalty kill situations, I don't think they have the speed or the skill to chase and to be aggressive. When Val Filppula and Jouri Lehterä are out there, I don't want them chasing because it's going to be a goal. 100 times out of 100.
Then that comes down to coaching.
It comes down to giving the younger players a little more time. I think Nolan Patrick is a born and bred first penalty kill center.
Is he, though?
I think so.
It's way too early to say.
Yeah, don't know yet, but I will say this.
I'm saying there's potential there.
I will say this.
Well, there's potential with anybody.
The first 10 games of the season, I went, oh my God, what was everybody thinking that they wanted this guy so badly? And in the last 10 games of the season, just through the progression, I'm not saying it happened all, it was just a progression over time, he got infinitely better, and you can see some serious potential.
Well, you know why. He had the same surgery that Ghost and...
Not to that level, but a similar surgery.
It was
surgery.
The same surgery.
No, it wasn't.
Well, he clearly looked faster.
Okay, sure, you're right,
Mike. He clearly looked faster. Whether it was a confidence thing that made him faster,
right,
or
and also
the speed of the game he had to catch up to. Whatever it was, if it was physical or mental.
Kid's 19 years old, and he's playing against,
Yeah, but that's a new normal, though, in the NHL.
Yeah, that doesn't make it easy, Mike.
No, but it's a new normal. You see guys like, Matthews, who scored 40 goals his rookie year. Coming in at 19, or McDavid. I mean, McDavid's a freak of nature,
okay, so
I'm not going to that.
Nolan Patrick,
no, I'm not.
Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not.
Okay, compare Nolan Patrick to Jack Eichel.
In what way?
Pretty similar comparisons, huh? They're
pretty similar rookie year. A little bit. Eichel's a better player.
Pull me up Eichel's rookie year.
Eichel's flashier. He's not better.
Pull me up Jack Eichel's rookie year right now. Pull me up Jack Eichel's rookie year right now. Because I guarantee you they're more similar
than you
think. Do
you see his team that he plays with, though?
Okay. It doesn't matter.
Buffalo's in the toilet.
Flyers are good?
They're better than Buffalo, by far.
See, I think you're on both of you. I think at times underestimate what a good player does for a team. It elevates the team.
Right.
It's not basketball with one player that can make you better. I understand that. And can take you from a dog mat to a playoff team. One player can do that in the NBA because there's only five. But hockey... Good players elevate their teams to win.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think Nolan Patrick could do that. He's not there yet, but he doesn't have to be there yet.
He's very young. How long has Eichel been there now?
This is his third year.
He came out with McDavid. Okay. They're both finishing their entry-level contract right
now. Following the John Tavares argument.
I have it up. Just get me Eichel's.
I'm working on it. Hold on.
I have Patrick's. Get me Eichel's.
Hold on. I'm working on it. Relax.
No, you're not. You're looking at Nolan Patrick's.
While you're looking, how much better is Buffalo than when he got there?
But their team stinks.
How much better are they than since
defense,
he got there?
They're not.
They're no better in three years than they were when he got there. So don't tell me how good he is.
To be fair, Casey Mittelstadt's going to do wonders for that team next year.
And so is, hate to break it to you, Rasmus Dahlin is the answer.
They're going to be a very good team. Dahlin and Casey Mittelstadt, they're going to be.
When
a good
that
team
happens,
next year.
We'll have a different conversation. I'm telling you right now. Don't tell me how good Eichel is.
Eichel had 56 points.
They're the same team with him as they were without him.
And he was playing on Buffalo's top line that whole year, right?
No, it was Ryan O'Reilly. Eichel was on their second line.
Okay, so he was on their second line,
playing serious power play minutes.
Right. Nolan Patrick played half this season hurt. Coming back from injury. He had 30 points.
And no power play minutes for a majority of the season.
Right.
Nah, he was getting power play too.
By the way, how do you feel about him on the power play one unit toward the end of the season? I think he looked great in that Wayne Simmonds role.
I think he had trouble fitting in with certain things that they did. And I think, again, this comes back to Mike's coaching point. The other teams know they like to go Giroux to ghost, right. Dvorak. They can't do that anymore. That's all the other teams play.
But if you think about it, that unit, for the most part, Giroux, Voracek, Simmons, that unit's been together since 2012.
Right.
So swapping Simmons out for Patrick, there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period.
Yeah.
And I think over this offseason, I want that unit as your first unit in training camp. I want them taking a ton of reps together in training camp. They made that decision when Simmons went out and missed 7 or 8 games. If you remember.
But I think the reason why Simmons worked with that is he didn't have to handle the puck.
Yes.
Okay.
Clear space in front of
the net. He would get in front of the net, get rebounds, you know, get the bang home, you know, goal with the passing back and forth, and, you know, create space for everybody else. Patrick's the guy I want in the Giroux role, holding the puck.
Okay.
I don't necessarily want him in that role.
That's valid. I think he has the size.
Oh, he can
to go
do
down,
it.
Be
he
in
can
the slot,
do
bang
it.
Away.
He can do it. But again, I think you're taking him away from what he does best,
that's
which
fair.
Is create the play.
That's fair. And maybe they move him to the second unit and let him have that Giroux role. Because even
or they trade Giroux and he runs the first power play unit.
They're not going to trade Giroux.
Oh, I know it's not going to happen, but I can dream, guys. Come on,
that's
you,
a dream
you
for
want
you?
It to happen.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely want it to happen, and I love Giroux. It's just. This team's not going to win a Stanley Cup with Giroux and Voracek as its main focus. It's just not going to happen. And the goaltender that they have that someday potentially can bring us a Stanley Cup, they're going to be 104. So let's get more young talent in here.
And on that note, I think it's about time to wrap it up.
Yeah, we end on a hot take.
That's definitely interesting. You guys can let us know what you think about that on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at K Collington and Mike at Mike_Giletto. You can find the show by searching You Would Think on Facebook, iTunes, Podbean, Instagram, Google Play, and last word on sports.com.
Real quick, do you want to give some predictions for this next round?
Yeah, we have some NHL conference final predictions to do very quickly. Ben, get the pens ready. In the East, we have the Tampa Bay Lightning, who defeated the Boston Bruins in 6 games. Wow, I blanked on that hard. The Tampa Bay Lightning, they will have home ice advantage regardless of who they play. They will either play the Washington Capitals or the Pittsburgh Penguins. At time of recording, that game 6 is tonight in
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but Washington has a 3-2 series lead. So, Mike.
Yep.
Who you
Which
got?
One? Me or him?
Junior. Tampa versus Washington. Who you got?
If Washington won and Tampa, Tampa.
How many games?
6. Let's go there.
Okay, I'll go Tampa in 5 in that matchup.
Wow, really?
Against Washington.
Tampa versus Washington.
If Washington figures out a way to get by Pittsburgh, I'm going Washington in 7.
Wow, the Washington win, huh? You're going to put Ovi in the Cup Finals?
Yes.
Okay.
I hope so.
Now, Junior, Tampa versus Pittsburgh.
It's Pittsburgh. Just how it's going to go. Yeah. If Pittsburgh gets by Washington, they're going to win the Cup, and I'm going to be real salty. No, they're not going to win the Cup. It's going to be Vegas.
I'm going to say Tampa in 7.
If it's Pittsburgh?
If it's Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Tampa in 7. I think that's a great series. Multiple overtimes. Senior?
I think it's a tremendous matchup.
Tampa
if it is
Pittsburgh.
If it is Pittsburgh, which I think it will be, because I still don't think Washington will figure this out.
Think Pittsburgh will win the next 2 games?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But they've done it before.
Yeah.
To Washington.
Yeah.
I think Pittsburgh defensively is just what Tampa Bay needs, and I think Tampa Bay outscores them and wins in 6 or 7.
That's fair. Now, Mike, Vegas versus Nashville. Nashville will be the home team. They had the President's Trophy.
That would be a hell of a series.
I mean, it's the conference finals. It better
I
be.
I know, yeah.
That's how the playoffs work, Mike.
You know, I told you, I can't go against them. And I won't ever go against them again.
Are you going to risk the extra points and pick Vegas in 4 again?
I'm not doing 4. No.
I will.
Wow.
Well, they should have swept against San Jose.
Exactly.
They should have.
But they
should have. They should have.
But
the
they
NHL
didn't.
Rigged it.
But
so I'm afraid the NHL is going to rig this one again. So I can't do it 4.
Nashville.
I'll go
Nashville, Vegas. Pick a winner.
Vegas 6.
Vegas in 6?
Yep.
I will also take Vegas in 6. Are you actually taking Vegas in 4?
Vegas in 5.
Wow.
Nashville's a hell
of
a team.
Wow, so they're
going
to win game 5 in Nashville?
Yeah. Well,
wow.
They won't because Nashville's not going to be there.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Spoiler alert. Junior, now we got Vegas versus Winnipeg.
Winnipeg's good, man. T- Team's good.
I mean, it's the playoffs. We're down to like the final six teams.
I already told you they had six forwards that the Flyers could crack their lineup. Not one Flyer.
I disagree with that. But
anyway.
Again, Vegas 6. No, you know what? Vegas 7. I'll change it. Vegas 7.
Over Winnipeg. I'm going to think about that one. Senior, go ahead.
I'm going to think about it.
I'll think about it for a second.
Hellebuck, Vegas in 5.
Okay.
Though he's played very well so far.
I'll take Vegas in 6 in that series. I think they'll win game 6 in Winnipeg with the whiteout in full effect.
Okay.
All right. You got that, Ben? All right. That's
he's always got it.
That's going to put a wrap on this show. Senior, thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.
It was good. And just a heads up, you guys follow us on Twitter at YWT Podcast. We're actually going to do a giveaway.
Yes, we are.
We hit 100 followers. We decided we would do a giveaway. We had a little poll. The poll results are in. We will be giving away a replica Philadelphia Eagles jersey.
Yep.
And we haven't decided the player yet, and we haven't figured out all the details, but it will be an Eagles jersey. So follow us at YWT Podcast on Twitter for the details of that when we figure that out. And I think that's just about it. Anything else, Mike?
Nope.
All right. Thanks again for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you next week.
Can we use older, not old?